Kol HaLashon, the entire Torah, everywhere.
This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Parashas Nosoi, the parasha of Soite. And there's a fascinating medrash. The parasha Soite starts off, Ish, Kisiste Ishtoi. It says twice the word Ish. And the medrash tells us that a person has to be two types of people in one. He has to be this mellow, soft, sweet man. And if he had an expensive bottle of wine and the wine poured out, he should be mevater and not get angry. But if his wife is promiscuous and she's not acting b'tznius of a Bas Yisrael, dear, he should toughen up and he should be a warrior and he should fight for the Kvod Shamayim. But why does the Torah hint it right here? And the answer is obvious, because only a sweet, good husband that has this beautiful atmosphere at home, and he's the ish, the mellow sweetie pie, and he's sweet when the wine spills, and other things similar to that. The atmosphere is pleasant. There's a warm, loving relationship. Could he expect that his wife shouldn't be acting this way and hanging out with whom she shouldn't be? If he's that type of ish, he has a right when she's acting improper to be the tough ish. But if he was a tough, angry husband that loses himself and he's so tough and stiff at home, that could cause that she should be looking to be with others. The Chazon Ish writes that a relationship between a husband and wife can't be a relationship as one has with a Gadol B'Yisrael of distance, of respect. It has to be casual, light, funny, joking, humor, says the Chazon Ish. It has to be that type of very casual, loving, sweet relationship. If you were to say over holding a sefer of the Malbim, and you were saying over a piece from the Malbim in Parashas Ki Tzetze, and as you're saying over the Malbim, somebody in the audience screams out, "It's not the Malbim! The Malbim in most of Kisetze and Kisava is not the Malbim." And you'll argue, "But I'm holding a sefer of the Malbim." And he'll show you that towards the beginning of Parashas Kisetze, it says that from here till the end of the parasha, we didn't find in the writings of the Malbim, so we added according to his style. Of course, we don't know who wrote it. It takes away the credibility. Just like we know the Malbim and Agudas Shel Pesach is not the Malbim, which again takes away the credibility. So then it has to become Kabeil Eso Emes Mimisha Omroi. The great Gaon of Shlomo Fischer said you can find many things in Kisetze Kisavai that don't fit the Ashkofis of the Malbim or even the correct Ashkofis.
Kol HaLashon.
There's one piece in the Malbim in Kisetze, that if we want to accept the truth, it's quite fascinating. We know that in Catholicism, for example, divorce is not allowed, it's frowned upon, marriage is forever. So the Malbim, which isn't the Malbim, explains in the parasha Kisetze, the parasha of Gittin, he explains two reasons why the Torah Akdeisha allows divorce. But before that, he has a lengthy discussion. He says the Reformed Jews make fun of the ultra-Orthodox Jews, how they go about shidduchim. They meet a couple of short times together, They don't live together. They barely know each other. And they commit to each other for a lifetime. That's ridiculous. Say the Reform and the nations of the world. But he says the statistics are that our marriages, marrying when we don't really know each other, last a lot longer and more percentages than the Reform Jews and the nations of the world. And why is that? So he explains that they are romancing around for a year or two, and it's all a game, and it's all in fantasy. But once they're committed to each other, they both drop their guard, the game is over, and the true colors come out. And he realizes that he didn't marry who he thought he married. As long as it's only fun without commitment, and without responsibilities, without sharing real responsibilities of finance, of children, and so on. Especially if the children come in between them, and they have different opinions how to raise the children, and the loving wife is suddenly a loving mother, and more of her attention is to her children than to himself, and suddenly the love dissipates and it's over, and he looks to get divorced. On the other hand, he says, by the Orthodox world, since we know that we don't know who we're marrying, so we're not going with the anticipation that it has to be perfect. If it's going to be perfect, we'll be pleasantly surprised. But if it's a mediocre situation, we're accepting. We're not foolish. We know. We don't know who we're marrying. Just because she got good grades in school, we don't know how she's going to be as a tired mother of a bunch of young children, working and having tremendous stress, sleepless nights. We have no idea how it's going to play out. So we go with the maturity, knowing that if it's a mediocre situation, this is a union for life, and we accept the oil issue. And therefore, because we don't have these crazy anticipations, we have a greater durability in our marriages. And then he explains that the reason why the Torah Kedoshah allows for divorce, he says, imagine if a person is under house arrest for a month. It's terrible. But what if he decides tax season is over, let's say he's a CPA, and now he wants to relax for a month. He tells his wife, don't answer the doors, don't answer the phones. I want to relax. I'm just doing my own thing. And he chooses on his own to be home for a week, for a month, and do his own thing. He's fine. Why is he fine? Because he knows whenever he wants, he could leave the house. He chose to stay home. And since it's his own choice, therefore, he could deal with it. Versus somebody that's under house arrest. Likewise, he says, the reason why the Torah Kedoshah allows for divorce is so that a person should know even in the worst of situations he has a way out, and he's choosing to stay in, and therefore, since it's his own choice, he could deal with it. Therefore, he does not have to follow through with the divorce. So the real reason for the Torah allowing divorce is so that you should never have to actually come to it. So he says these two things keep the Jewish marriage. You're going having in mind a mediocre situation, and you'll be pleasantly surprised if it's great. And the other part is that if it's terrible, you're choosing to stay in it, and you have a way out. That's the Malbim, not the Malbim, in Kiseitze. But here, we want to discuss a reason, possibly for the Shidduch crisis, and at least a part of the Shidduch crisis, a reason why there's so many hardships in Shalom Bayis today, more than yesteryear. And we find very clearly in the Gemara, the old glue that glued the marriage together was the absolute interdependency between the husband and wife. The Gemara says, could he eat raw wheat? Could he just take flax and wool, shear it off the sheep and wear that? She takes the food and prepares it 5-6 hours a day just to prepare a loaf of bread, some fish, some chicken, plucking the feathers. It was 18 hours a day just to have basics. There's no such a thing as canned, jarred, processed, and bought commercial food. So she's Mamido Yal Raglo of Umeiris Palav. He couldn't go to the suit store and buy his suit. She created his food, his clothing, gave him life. He, on the other hand, provided finance and protection. Today, that interdependency is gone. She could have a better job than he, and he could go to the suit store and to the restaurant. That interdependency is gone. And therefore, sometimes, the level of compatibility and love, and I don't know if you're allowed to say, sort of romance, that becomes the fantasy of the marriage. And many will not listen to a shidduch unless it fits the criteria of a whole long list of looks and intellect and so on and so forth, because that is what is attractive. And if it's not the interdependency, the attraction and being compatible and being able to finish off each other's sentences, that is very appealing. And therefore they'll do away with many shidduchim that don't rise to this level of compatibility, because they want something to glue the marriage. If it's not the interdependency, then at least you should be so very excited about each other. But if a person would consider that there's other interdependencies, chas v'shalom, once a girl becomes older and it looms over her head the chance of never having children, never being part of the community, being alone forever, then that alone should be the cement, a new type of cement, to be able to look away from all those high levels of compatibility and say, we're going to make this work because the flip side, the alternative, is so much worse. That alone should become the new glue to cement the marriage. But there's another reason why there's so many hardships in Shalom Bayis today. A simple couple today make more decisions in a year about chinuch, how you love it. They sent to this school, to that school, to this camp, to the other camp, and so many decisions, not only about chinuch, life decisions, every step of the way. In the olden days, a person got sick. There was a decision to live or to die. In the Dervla, in the little town, there were no doctors. There weren't best doctors. There wasn't traveling around the world to find the best doctor. There were no decisions to make. Whatever Hashem gave you, that was it. Today, there's hundreds of decisions weekly, monthly, all the time. What level of Gashmi is, what level of anything. And in order to make so many decisions, there has to be a certain level of understanding and compatibility, if not the couples are going to be at each other's throats all the time. In the olden days, there were no decisions. There was one decision, survive. Everybody was fighting for survival, to have a piece of clothing to wear, some firewood, some food stored away for the winter. It was survival. So today, a simple couple is making more decisions in a month than the night of Yehuda made for the entire Klal Yisrael in his whole lifetime, being the Rabbon Shel Kol B'nei Agoyim. And therefore, there needs to be some type of real compatibility. And for that, L'chayda, the only Eitzah is that every couple should accept upon themselves, Saseilich Harav is Talik Min Asofik, that we're always going to have a third party. We're not going to be at each other's throats. We're going to have a third party help us decide that we're going to be mevatel ourselves to his decision. And if that person passes away from the world, we'll get a new person. And we're not going to sit by that new person hours and hours till his patience wears thin. We're going to come exactly, tell him exactly what the issue is, very concisely. And whatever he says, we'll do. We're not going to have a tug of war back and forth. We're going to learn how to accept a third party's decision so that there shouldn't be so much friction. But getting back to the main point, when a girl or a boy become older, they have to realize that the glue of having a marriage and being part of the community and having a family is also a very strong glue. And it's worth it to make it work for that alone.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
A whole world of content awaits you on Kol HaLashon, United Kingdom, 0208-191-7000. United States, 646-663-7920. Israel, 03-617-1095.